get my disco polyester out for that one, everybody. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. And don't you think I didn't have some of that, Benny? My little disco polyester. But, you know, as women, we evolve, we change. The question is, where do we go with our lives? You know, what do we do with our lives? Is there such a thing as the next generation of women leaders? What do they look like? What do they feel like? And who's actually talking about them? Well, my guest, Selena Rezvani, is talking about them in a way that all of us, probably if you're interested in being a woman of that nature, being a leader, as I think all of us are anyway, then it's time to take a look at what kind of advice we need. You know, we are going to be talking with Selena today. I'm so glad to have her on the show because, you know, this is something that's passionate to her. So she is someone that understands about women, women in top echelons of business, what it means to take the journey, and the debut book, The Next Generation of Women Leaders. And so multitasking while pursuing her MBA, where she graduated first in her class. I can't even imagine that. I have been so wanting to talk with her to find out what it is about her own journey, what it is about what she's discovered we should know about to make the move for thriving in this lifetime. Selena, thank you for joining us today. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, and congratulations on your book.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation, Pat. It's an honor to speak with you today.
Okay, I have to start out by talking about you, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And I know this book is about the next generation of women leaders. But you are quite an accomplished woman yourself. And I want to start that. The question, I guess, that I want to know or want to talk with you about is, you know, I gave a brief overview of sort of a little bit about your journey writing the book and graduating first in your class. But the conversation is, you know, in order to do that, you know, what are some of the obstacles you had to really climb over to get to the place where you stepped into what most people call your life's purpose?
You know, that's a really interesting question. And I would have to say the biggest obstacle was me. Before that, you know, it wasn't an external thing. It wasn't a certain person in my life. It was really my own relationship with risk and wanting to stick with things that were close and familiar over, you know, really spreading my wings and doing that thing I was afraid to but always longed to do. And so for me, business school was really represented that, and taking that risk changed my life in a lot of ways. You know, the book came about, I started my own business, and I think when you start taking risks, you're in a really incredible position to go take bigger and better risks.
I want to talk with you about this, and I don't want this to be overshadowed with sort of the buzz today about the election in Massachusetts. Many people see it as a race between a Democrat and a Republican. Other people see it as a race between a man and a woman. But I can't help by, you know, thinking about that race right now, and especially thinking about it out of the context of the bigger political arena. I mean, these are two individuals. One of them is a woman. And I want to ask you, about the next generation of women leaders. Why was this book important to you? And what would you say to some of the women right now that are seeking that next level, which may include leadership?
You know, I'd say, first of all, I was moved to write this, really moved to write it. And the reason was through my own personal experiences. As a management consultant and MBA, there were very few women actually running businesses. And that translates to few role models you can relate to, in my case. So my interest was in finding a way to connect up-and-comers with those few women who had made it to the top and to start a conversation between these two groups. So a lot of the women who've read the book have told me it felt like a series of mentoring sessions. And for me, that was precisely the goal, you know, to help them save time, build credibility on the job, and just make better career decisions. In terms of advice I'd give people looking to step into leadership, there's so many things I learned from the incredible women I had the chance to interview. But I would say think about success in terms of a job with staying power. Don't just look to move up rungs in a ladder. Think about what has meaning for you. Because if you can find a job with meaning and do it well, you will be unstoppable.
So I love the whole idea of finding what that, you know, that what I call is a real energy patch, a little vibrational, in let's call it a vibrational inspiration that allows us to really tap into what truly will put a smile on our face every day when we wake up. You know, is that something that you have looked at in your life and have said, boy, I wish I had more of that to spray on me instead of my perfume for today?
Yeah, I certainly went through that. I think, you know, a lot of us arrive at the right thing by opening a lot of the wrong doors, mm-hmm. you know, and saying, oops, this one's not right for me either. And I've certainly had that. I've had, you know, jobs that felt like a total misfit, and I've had some that felt comfortable and even cushy, but just not exciting and not in line with why I'm here. Mm. And I think when you do find that, it's kind of undeniable. It's really hard to put it on a shelf. And
it really is.
You know, it's not there.
Exactly. I love this. And, you know, you talk to some really some awesome people, some awesome women. Give us a sort of a snapshot on some of the folks that you actually got to interview and what actually drew you to them.
Well, I looked really hard for women I admired who had uh-huh. interesting, you know, reputations as charismatic, you know, certainly smart, driven leaders. But to be honest with you, I wasn't looking for the woman who might have had a reputation as a tyrant or that she got to her job through some kind of means. That's not a good example. So I really looked hard for women who I considered to be the whole package. And some of them were the former president of the L.A. Dodgers, Jamie McCourt. She was quite a force. Catherine Weymouth, the CEO of the Washington Post, and also women like Denise and Candela. She's the president of Texas Avenue.
And so what is it that you were absolutely surprised with most in speaking with these women? I mean, there are probably so many things that you talk to them about, and we'll talk about the book in a minute and what you've outlined in the book. But were there any aha moments for you? I mean, clearly you had some aspect of women in leadership, but what were some of the things that, you know, made you kind of sit up straight in your chair, so to speak?
Well, you know, I asked each of the women this one question. What would you like your leadership legacy to be?
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought that a lot of the answers I would hear would focus on concrete business achievement. And to my great surprise, a lot of the women talked about the fact that they wanted to be remembered as great mentors and people that brought out the best in others. And that was a really critical finding. One woman, Melissa Monk, she is the chief infrastructure officer at Capital One, said, I want to be remembered for helping people find their passion and align it with their work. So for a lot of these women, moving up wasn't just about them. They were really looking hard to cultivate and develop other people around them. And in my view, that's what true leadership is.
You know, that's kind of incredible. It really just, doesn't it point to, Selena, doesn't it point to how times have changed? I mean, I mean, do you think that these women are sort of, have the perspectives they have as a result of sort of their own personal journey through a very challenging business, you know, decade, so to speak?
Well, I think these women had incredible perspective. I have a lot of respect for them because a lot of these women are not of my generation. They grew up in a time where they were told very confusing things, like don't look too smart. It's a turnoff to boys. Or you have three career choices, secretary, nurse, or, you know, some kind of support role. So to me, to see these women in the roles that they've taken and to kind of face the fears they've looked down is very inspirational.
It is inspirational, and it's a new conversation, isn't it? We're really starting to build upon, you know, conversation of passion, purpose, and empowerment, especially in the Leadership for Women arena, aren't we?
That's exactly right. I think it has a whole new look, and I think the more bridges we can create between women who are there and women who would like to be there, the better. Because I travel around the country at this point talking to different women's groups, and I have to say there's more of an appetite and demand for this kind of advice and mentorship than there is supply.
Wow, how refreshing this is. The next generation of women leaders, author Selena Rezvani joining us here today. We're just barely scratching the surface. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how women can create their own roadmap into success, but also how can women pull other women up? How can you be mindful of that? How do you do it? And what advice does our guest offer all of you out there, those of you that are in business working right now? What can she offer you in terms of maybe one or two tips to be successful? Stay tuned. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. NextGenWomen.com is the website for Selena. We'll be right back.
Ready to manifest your heart's desire? Want to know the secret to navigating life's in-between times with confidence and skill? Ready, Set, Manifest with Life Coach Debbie Lacey offers real tools to coach yourself through the in-betweens and leaps in life. Say goodbye to being stuck and hello to Ready, Set, Manifest. Visit theinspiredcoach.com and join the next Ready, Set, Manifest telegathering. You're not lost. You're getting ready. Visit theinspiredcoach.com.
Living your life to the max means that you can have everything you want. Empowerment psychic Linda Dickinson can show you where you're headed and teach you how to change your future. Linda will share with you the messages of those who have passed before you. For a private session, visit InMyFuture.com or call 800-206-9096. Listen to Linda Dickinson on The Dr. Pat Show. Call in and hear how you can be the producer, director, and lead in your life. Today is the day to start living your life to the max.
Do you want to prosper by using good timing to work in harmony with the universe? Each year, show host Madeline Gerwick provides a new good timing guide so you can know the best times for all your important activities. To order the new 2010 good timing guide, just go to askmadeline.com. That's askmadeline.com. And click on the Polaris store or call 877-524-8300 to get your 2010 good timing guide today.
Do you suffer from insomnia, body aches, fatigue, brain fog, digestive problems, weight gain, or anxiety? You may be dealing with unmanaged stress. The Stress Detective looks for the hidden messages within your stress and partners with you to create a wellness program to dismantle stress from the inside out. Learn to manage your stress, and you can stop illness in its tracks. Call Susan Tyler at 888-629-4949 or visit stressdetective.net.
Is Egypt calling you? Join Dr. Friedemann Schaub and Danielle Rama Hoffman for an initiatory journey to Egypt, May 2010. Picture yourself meditating in the Great Pyramid, cruising down the Nile on a private sailing yacht, and exploring ancient temples in exclusive visits. For a journey that expands your consciousness and opens your heart, call 866-903-6463 or visit EgyptIsCalling.com.
Are you tired of doing everything you've been taught to do, but your life is still not working for you? Do you know the new rules for the game of life? Hi, I'm Dr. Melody Ivory, personal growth expert and co-host of the Breakthrough Interview Series, Step Into Your Full Greatness on the Dr. Pat Show. I'm excited about helping you easily transform your life from the inside out. Listen to Step Into Your Full Greatness and visit MelodyIvory.com for free articles, poetry, and affirmations. That's MelodyIvory.com.
It's all in me. It's all in me.
Ah, that's what I needed to hear, Valerie. That is exactly what I needed to hear right now. Boy, welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Dr. Pat Show. For more information about us, go to www.drpatlive.com, drpatlive.com. What a cool conversation. Selena Rizvani joining us here today. Incredible book, The Next Generation of Women Leaders. Now, this book, for me, is a book that really captures not all of the places we've been necessarily, but what do you need now? What does Valerie need to know? What do I need to know as we step out into the world of business and leadership? What is the road map? Selena, thank you for joining us here today. I want to make sure everybody's got your website, which is nextgenwomen.com, nextgenwomen.com. You and I were talking during the break, and I kind of want to pick it up from there. Really, really, this kind of, you know, brings everything we've said forward. I was sharing with you what it was like to be perhaps some of the women of the age of some of the women that you got to chat with. But one of the things that I love about what you've put in the book and what women have said is we have really come a long way, baby. You know, I'm not sitting here talking to you about my boss telling dirty jokes at the beginning of the staff meeting. We don't do that anymore. What is it that women have said to you, these leaders? What is it that they attribute to their success? And are there any barriers that they see right now for women?
You know, the barrier question was such an interesting one and probably the one I got the most diverse answers from. Some of the women talked about, yes, there still are barriers, and my strategy for moving up has been that I've acknowledged them and I've found ways around them, but I have not dwelled on them. And other women said, you know, there are clear barriers, and we can kid ourselves into thinking that they're all gone and we have achieved perfect equality, but there are still issues there, and a lot of them are kind of quite subtle in the workplace. So like you said, there may not be these egregious acts in the workplace like there were years ago. But my belief from the data I collected and the research I did is that there is still some level. You know, women do still make less money than men for equal work. There are fewer role models at the top to talk to and model yourself after. And, you know, I think also the data says it all at this point. You think about the Fortune 500, 3% of those companies are run by women. And so that's a pretty compelling figure.
And do you believe that's compelling in a positive way? I mean, you know, or compelling in perhaps a way that says, you know, 3% are running it. Boy, what a great opportunity for us to grow into those other positions.
From my perspective, when I saw that, it was disheartening because I thought 3% is not enough. These are our country's most coveted, profitable companies. You know, why is that so slow to progress? Because there have actually been years where it dipped slightly.
Yeah.
So from my perspective, I'd say
that's when they downsized a bunch of us, just so you know. Just one. You should have interviewed me. I would have given you a different perspective on the dipping part.
If only I had known. But
you're,
you know,
yeah.
I think that there needs to be more tools. Like I told you, you know, for me, this book was doing something about the situation, creating more of a connection, helping young women see leadership roles as more realistic, plausible career paths. And so I think there needs to be more of those tools. You know, mm-hmm. contrary to what a lot of people think that, oh, there's plenty of leadership development advice for women. Like I said, there's more of a hunger for it than there is books.
It's really interesting we're talking about this because, you know, I don't really talk about my own research very much. I mean, you know, it's something that I am bringing back to the forefront. But most of my research has really been from women participants. And what was interesting, even 8 years ago or so, and I want to ask you about this because I wonder if this came up. When I asked these folks in a survey, and this was hundreds of them, and I asked them what they thought the number one attribute or obligation of any manager was or the company, across the board, like 99% said respect. They didn't say pension. They didn't say money. They said respect. Very interesting. I want to ask you, Where does this fit in with the overall leadership agenda? And is this really women wanting more from women in this way? Or is this across the board for both genders?
I think the respect question is not a surprising one, and I'm glad that your research showed that. I think employees have always wanted a voice, men or women, and to be treated like they matter and to feel heard in the workplace, you know, to be consulted on issues that affect them. So I'm not surprised to hear that. And I happen to think, and from the research I've done, that women are naturals at this. You know, a lot of the classically, you know, feminine leadership traits involve collaboration and consensus building and really bringing out the best in a team, getting people to work together. So I think the issue of respect and consulting people, asking them what they think on a matter before you implement it, is something women do quite well. But I think it's something both genders want and want to be treated with in the workplace.
I want to ask you a question that I referred to before we went to break, because I know, you know, that part of your passion and purpose is, you know, the building the collaborative community. One of the things that has been a struggle, and I will say this, it's been a struggle over my early years in the workplace, and certainly right before I left corporate America, has been this idea of men doing a really great job of helping men, but women not quite there. And I wanted to ask you, has that changed? And what can women do to pull up other women?
Yeah, this one is it's difficult to think about. I personally haven't experienced, you know, women discriminating against me or, you know, treating me in such a way that it tore me down at work. But I have heard the stories that sometimes women can be each other's worst enemy. I think the best thing women can do is on the job, when it comes to the job, it can be as simple as letting, you know, negativity or gossip die with you. You know, make up your mind to be a change agent and someone who doesn't engage in gossip, but create a brand for developing other people or making yourself available to them as an advisor. I think that's a much better place for your energy. You know, there's also a lot of networking groups and opportunities within groups to help women. I often tell the women I coach, look for twofers, you know, meaning it's a place where you can help somebody and it's a place where you can be helped. So to do that, you really need to look for groups that have a mix of different women who are at all different levels. And I think another thing is that, you know, women are never too young to start hearing empowering messages. So if you have a sister, a niece, or a daughter, talk to them in terms of possibilities, not limitations in their career, and help them get comfortable negotiating on their own behalf.
I want to thank you, Selena, for doing what you've done. I mean, I was just talking to a couple of my friends about this the other day, and I said, you know, it's been a really long time since I put my hands on a book about women in leadership. And who was it? Susan Faludi? The last book that I think I picked up around that was decades ago by a woman who really pushed the edge on everything. I want to thank you for bringing us a new perspective, and a book about women that is about helping women. And so much success and congratulations for you. What is your personal message for all of us today, Selena?
I would say my personal message is rethink your relationship with risk. You know, fear regret more than failure. The women I spoke with, they really got in a comfortable place taking risks in life and saw huge benefits and things they couldn't have dreamed of because of that. So I'd say be fearless and change the conversation you have around risk in your life.
I love that message. We talk about it all the time on the show. Selena, much success to you. Website, anything else you want our listeners to know? How can we kind of follow and get some tips and, you know, stay current with you?
Sure. Well, I'm on Twitter. I have a Facebook page. I keep lots of updates on those. And I just want to say I'll be out on my book tour. And a lot of the events for it are listed on my website.
Absolutely incredible. Thank you. Much success. And I hope you will come back.
Thank you. What a delight to be on the show. Thanks, Pat.
Good job. Wow. Selena Rizvani, everyone, The Next Generation of Women Leaders. It is a really, really wonderful book. There are some insights that you all will get from it that you just can't get anywhere else. Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. Linda Dickinson is coming up. Stressed out and always tired. Well, not after the show with Linda. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with the Dr. Pat Show.